We're doing some new things here at CEC Messiah. Let me see if I can explain it to you. A few months ago, the Lord began to deal with us about the fact that this church and a lot of the folks in this church seem to carry an anointing to minister to other people, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to pray for people, to get deliverance from evil spirits, to pray over houses. We've even delivered houses in amazing, miraculous ways. And the Lord began to deal with us about, although we need to continue to apply that miracle-working power inwards here that He has blessed us with, that He is giving to us, but that we also need to be moving out and getting outside of our own group and ministering to other people as well and sharing the blessings of the kingdom of God with other people, with other churches, with other groups. And so we've started doing a couple of things. One is that we have started doing a once-a-month miracle service. Now, it's usually held over at Briar Creek Church in Charlotte, and it happens on either a Saturday or a Sunday, kind of in the middle of the month. What you need to do is check out our website to see when the next miracle service is going to be. The website is www.cecmessiah.org. www.cecmessiah.org. But we've also begun to move out, and when folks call, I know Grace has had a couple of invitations just recently to go to California, to go to New York, to go to Boston. She's gone and she's ministered and she's done women's groups. Debbie and I have been invited to hold healing services in various churches and to share Eucharist, to share communion with people that don't normally get to have communion. And as a matter of fact, the Lord's even leading us to be available so that teams from our church can go out to other churches even on Sunday mornings to relieve the pastor so the pastor can have a break, or to do a miracle service with the pastor there, or whatever the Lord seems to lead. But anyhow, the point is that God is moving us out, and signs and wonders have been following this move. This message you're about to hear was from one of our first network miracle services. And I can tell you that after this message, signs and wonders followed. People were healed. People were delivered. People were ecstatic about some of the things that God was doing in their lives. Pray with us in this new venture that God will continue to use us in miraculous ways so that He can show His love, His lavish love to His creation, so that He can demonstrate to people what it's like to be in the kingdom of God and to live in the miraculous. Come to one of the miracle services. Get on the prayer line. Look at the website and find out about the prayer line. Every Thursday night, there's a teaching on the prayer line. You'll be getting some of those, too, here on the radio program. But especially be in prayer with us as the Lord leads. And I hope you enjoy this message today about God's healing power. I do want to share some of the word with you for a few minutes, encourage you, hopefully. You know, in the Gospels, it says that Jesus came and proclaimed good news. And you know, it tells us what He was saying when He was proclaiming good news. He was saying, hey, I got good news for you. The kingdom of God is here, and you can be part of it. And then what He'd do is He would say, let me show you what it's like in the kingdom of God. And He would lay hands on sick people, and they'd be healed. He would speak to demons, and those who were demon-possessed would be set free. Jesus said, let me tell you the good news. The good news is the kingdom of God is here, and you can be part of this, and it's good living in the kingdom of God. There are benefits. Come on in. It's a good place to be. And I've got good news for you that the kingdom of God is here today. Just like it was 2,000 years ago, Jesus is still saying, the kingdom of God's here, and you can be part of it. And if you're in the kingdom of God, I've got good news for you. You can be set free from the tyranny of disease. You can be set free from the bondage of sin. You can be set free from demonic oppression. Grace was saying that last time we had a service here, last time they had a service here, that even during the prayer time, somebody got healed.
the repentance time, the time that we just finished praying for our country and repenting. People that receive miracles from God, they're not receiving them at the hands of the ministers. They're receiving them from God. Now, yes, we may help in that process, but the miracles are coming from God because He wants us to be set free. He wants us to be healed. He wants our relationships to be mended. He wants us to enjoy being in the kingdom of God. Debbie and I were at a meeting Thursday night, and we were fortunate enough to be able to pray with some of the folks that were there. And I'm telling you, God showed up to prove that He wants people in the kingdom of God to be set free, to have miracles. There were two ladies there that were suffering from fibromyalgia. I think I said that right. Fibromyalgia or something like that. And the Lord set them free from that pain. The next day, one of them was still talking about how wonderful it was to be set free from the pain. We prayed for one guy that had a hernia, and it was causing him lots of trouble. And he said that as we were praying for him, he could feel that hernia begin to come back together and to begin to knit together. And the next day, he was telling folks that the Lord had healed him. He believed that he had been healed. It appeared that he had been healed. There was one lady that was under great oppression. She was just depressed and very oppressed with life around her. And God set her free. And the next day, she was still free. I mean, God is doing miracles. And we want to be part of that. I want you to be able to be part of that tonight. You know, in Acts chapter 10, a verse probably most of us could quote together, they're talking about this Jesus of Nazareth that not everybody knew about. And it says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." The power of the Holy Spirit is here to heal and to set free, and God wants to heal people in every way. He wants to heal you physically, emotionally, in your relationships, financially, spiritually. And the Lord began to speak to me a couple of days ago about the fact that He wanted also not just to minister to those that happen to show up here today, but He wants to minister to those of your family who aren't here. Some of you have come today and you have friends, you have relatives. Maybe some of them are an ocean away. Some of them are in the continent of Africa and they need a touch from God. I want to tell you that God wants to touch them through you today. It was fun watching this happen, especially one time Debbie and I were at a healing rally and we were praying for folks. And the next day, as we were heading for the airport to leave, people were chasing us down, finding us at the airport to tell us testimonies about what had happened, not just at that meeting. They said, for instance, at one point we prayed for folks who were in bondage to smoking cigarettes, and God was setting people free there in that meeting from cigarettes. The next day we heard that their relatives at home who couldn't come to the meeting had been set free from smoking cigarettes. The same thing with demonic oppression, the same thing with healings. We were getting testimonies. Hey, they stayed home, but they got healed too. God wants to reach across the ocean, reach across the county, wherever your relatives are that are sick or in need. God wants to touch them, and we're going to believe for that tonight with you, okay? God's power to work miracles is just as much at work today as it was when Jesus was walking the earth. I mean, He had a great compassion for people. I want to read you some scriptures about that in a minute. Debbie and I just got back from Scotland. Boy, the Lord just did some really cool things. Let me tell you a couple of stories. There was a lady that was about Gloria's age, and she was having hot flashes. Now, she was a very white lady, and all of a sudden you could see her face turn about the red of your sweater there. It would just get very red, and she would start fanning herself. And I mean, she's way too young to be having hot flashes, right? But she would have these hot flashes. And so we prayed for her one night in a home group meeting. It appeared that the Lord healed her, but we weren't sure. We didn't know. Well, the next night, she was at another home group meeting, And we prayed for her. She wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. She wanted to have all that God had for her and have the full power of God. And we prayed for her, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then a couple of nights later, we saw her at another meeting. There was an interdenominational meeting. And she just looked awful. I mean, she wasn't red or anything. She just looked kind of haggard and stuff. We came up to her at prayer time. She came up for prayer, and what in the world's going on? Is this the hot flashes that's caused? Oh, no, that's gone, she said, in a matter-of-fact way. She said, I can't sleep. Since y'all prayed for me and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I haven't been able to sleep. You need to pray for me that I can sleep. God is at work today doing all kinds of good and great things. He wants us to be so touched, so happy, so turned on about what He's doing in the kingdom of God that we can't sleep. There was a guy that had a cold in, I think it was the very first home group meeting we were at. And he had his handkerchief out like this. And he spent the first part of that home group meeting with his handkerchief over his face, coughing and sneezing and just sniffing. Oh, he was miserable. I felt so sorry for the John. And so anyway, when it came time to pray, well, we just all gathered around him and started praying for him. And after a few seconds, he took the handkerchief down. And we quit praying for him, this cold, and we went on and started praying for other people. And eventually we began to notice, oh, John hadn't coughed, he hadn't sneezed at all. I mean, God set him free just like that from that cold. Now that's weird because, you know, normally common colds, you pray for folks and and they just keep sniffling, you know, because it's common. Everybody's used to, well, you get a cold, you're going to get over it, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. Hey, to God, it's a big deal. God loves us. God cares about us. He wants to set us free even from a common cold. Turn to Matthew 9. I'm going to share some scriptures with you. Why in the world is it that God wants us to get well? Matthew 9, 36. What was motivating Jesus to stay up? We're just going to look at a few scriptures in Matthew to answer this question. What was it that was motivating Jesus to stay up at night, to not get food? I mean, at one point, his family, they said, you're going to have to come get him and take him. He's gone crazy. He's not taking care of himself. He's just spending all of his time praying for people. Of course, when he prayed for people, people got well, you know, or they got delivered. Matthew 9 and verse 36 says, and seeing the multitude, Jesus felt compassion for them because they were distressed. They were downcast. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. He saw them, and with the mind of God, he was able to look into every heart, and he was able to see every heartache. He was able to see every pain. He was able to see every sickness, every disease, and it broke his heart. He said, I want to set them free from that. I don't want them in that pain and in that suffering. Matthew 15, verse 32. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the multitude because they've remained with me now these 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I don't wish to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. And then Matthew 20, verse 34. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and they followed him. Jesus has compassion for us. Jesus wants us to have the miracles that we need. He wants you tonight to receive the miracle that you need. He wants your family to be able to receive the miracle that they need. But I want to teach you a little bit about something. Turn to Psalm 103. And that is that forgiveness and healing are all wrapped up together as one package. You know, a lot of times it's real easy for folks to receive the forgiveness that God has for them. They say, sure, I understand. Jesus died on the cross. He suffered for my sins. But you know what? He also was whipped. and suffered whipping, so that when he went to the cross, he could not only forgive us of our sins, but provide us with healing. When it comes to healing, a lot of folks will say, well, you know, that stopped with the apostles. I mean, when the last apostle died, then there wasn't any need for miraculous healing anymore. Or they'll say, well, when we got the New Testament, you know, when there was a New Testament to read, then we didn't need these signs and wonders anymore because we could read the New Testament. Well, you know, I would say, I guess that's okay, except for a couple of things. One is, when the apostles died, when we got the New Testament, people didn't quit getting sick. People were still sick, and Jesus still has compassion on sick people. The other thing is that when the last apostle died, or when the New Testament came along, people still needed healing. And you know what? Throughout the centuries, God has continued to show His compassion by healing folks. But some folks, it's like, yeah, but man, I can believe that God can forgive me. Yes, I know that He's washed me with the blood of Jesus. I'm washed as white as snow. I'm forgiven now. I can believe that. Okay, did you know that God wants you well too? God wants you financially well. He wants you emotionally well, physically well. I don't know about that. It's all wrapped up in one package, man. If we can believe that God can forgive us, then we need to be able to believe that God can heal us also. Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4. Who pardons all our iniquities, talking about God. Who heals all our diseases. It's all one package. Look at Isaiah 53. We're going to go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, seeing this all wrapped up together. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our peace fell upon Him, and by His scourgings or stripes we were healed. Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. And when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word, and He healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, that scripture we just read, that He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Luke 5, 22. Now this is a story where, and we're going to read kind of the last part of the story. Remember the story where there's a guy who's paralyzed and he's got some friends that are going to bring him to Jesus on a stretcher. And Jesus happens to be at his house and preaching, and he's just, the whole house is full of people that he's ministering to and praying for, and they can't get in because of the great press of the crowd. And so they go up on the roof of the house and they lift off the tiles of the roof, and they drop this guy down in front of Jesus and say, here he is, you know. Now, there happened to be some religious leaders there at the time watching this. Okay. Luke 5, let's start in verse 20. And seeing their faith, Jesus says to this crippled guy, now listen to this. He says, your sins are forgiven. And they all go, huh? You know, this guy was probably going, what? I came here to get healed, man, and he's going to forgive me? And the religious leaders, oh, man, they didn't like that at all. Whoa, hold it. You're just a man. Who are you to forgive sins? They say, you can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. Now listen to this. In verse 23, Jesus says to him, well, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? And he said, now listen, but in order that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the paralytic and say, I say to you, rise, take your stretcher, and walk. You see, for Jesus, the proof that he could forgive sins was in the healing. And there are other times where it's just the other way around. The proof that he could heal was in the forgiveness. It's all wrapped up together. Forgiveness of sins, healing. One last scripture, 1 Peter 2 and 24. If you have been forgiven and you need any kind of healing or miracle, God wants to do that. It's all one package. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross
that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. So, what are some of the kinds of things that can hinder people from being healed? There have been times I've been prayed for and haven't been healed. I've watched people not receive healing. Wonder why? Some receive right away, like that man that was healed instantly of that cold.
Some are healed over a period of time. I have more places on my body than I can count that I can tell you about tonight that God has healed over a period of time. And then sometimes it's like folks appear not to be able to receive healing at all. And to be real honest with you, I don't know why that is. And I have never heard an explanation that I could say, aha, that's it. Now I know why some people don't receive. I think there are a combination of things, you know, sometimes it's just complicated. We don't understand. Sometimes there's lack of faith. Not always, but sometimes. Remember, they were talking about how Jesus was in his own hometown in Nazareth there. And it says he couldn't do very many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And so sometimes that'll hinder healing. Sometimes we have unrepented sin in our lives. Remember, forgiveness and healing are all wrapped up together. Turn to James chapter 5. Again, one of these famous verses. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Yes, if he's committed sins, he'll have to be forgiven in order to be healed. Well, sometimes we're not willing to let go of sin. And when the Lord confronts us with that, says, I'd love to heal you, but you need to repent. Sometimes we say, no, I don't want to. Well, don't do that tonight. If the Lord shows you something, be willing, be quick to say, sure, I'm going to let me give that up so that God can heal me. The fourth thing that often stops folks from being healed is unforgiveness. It's sort of the other side of that coin. You know, you got the one side of the coin says, I have sin that's not forgiven. The other side of the coin is, I'm holding something against somebody. I got a grudge against somebody. Somebody has done me wrong. I have heard people say, if you just knew what they did to me, then you would understand why I can't forgive them. Well, the cold hard truth is, if you're not willing to forgive others, God cannot forgive you. If I hold something against folks, God's just not going to be able to forgive me. If I am holding on to something, God is not going to be able to heal me either. One night, we were praying for folks, and a guy came up to me in a wheelchair and wanted prayer. And as soon as he came up to me, the Lord spoke to me a word of knowledge and said, this man has unforgiveness in his heart, and I can't heal him until he has released that grudge that he has. And so I told him that. And boy, he didn't want to hear that. He got mad. No, no, you just need to pray for me that God will heal me. I said, I can't pray for you until you release. And we talked some about what it was, and he didn't want to talk about that. And man, you just... And in a huff, he takes that wheelchair and he just wheels off. Now, Debbie and I were praying for folks, but we were praying for folks on different sides of the room. And so he wheels out around back, and then he wheels back over to Debbie. And he comes up to Debbie for prayer. And as soon as he wheels up to her, the Holy Spirit tells Debbie, this guy has unforgiveness in his heart. He's got a deep-seated grudge, and I can't heal him unless he lets go of that. And so, of course, she tells him that. And, oh, man, that made him so mad. And in a huff, he turns around and he wheeled out of there. far as we could tell, he was the only person in that meeting that didn't get healed that night. I mean, we saw blind eyes open and deaf ears open and all kinds of stuff. Kneecaps grow, crutches gone. And I mean, you know, all kinds. God was just there in a great, compassionate way, touching people, and he just wouldn't receive it. I pray that if you're holding a grudge, if you're holding sin, that the Lord will help show you that. If someone that you want to pray for that's not here today, and you know that they're holding on to a grudge or holding on to sin, then I want you to pray for them. Repent on their behalf. Just like Daniel was repenting for the nation of Israel, repent on their behalf and ask God to forgive them. Because once we allow God's grace to come into our hearts and forgive us, to allow us to forgive others, then God's able to do the miracles for us that we need. And so in conclusion, today we want to pray for you. We want to agree with you for miracle. We want to see God work here. If you aren't sure whether or not God does miracles today, then I want to encourage you, hang out and watch. Just stay here and watch as God does miracles. If you know that God does miracles, then pray with us and agree with us as we're praying for folks, okay? And as a matter of fact, I'd be just as excited if God touched you, healed you, did whatever he needs to do, and we never touch you, see anything. I mean, you know, this is not about us. This is about God doing what he wants to do. Good news, folks. The kingdom of God's here. You can be part of it. And there's good things for being in the kingdom of God. And part of those are miracles. We have as many folks here that might be part of a prayer team as we have folks to pray for. And so if you're on the prayer team and you need special prayer, don't hesitate. You know, let us pray for you. We've got time tonight. We've got an hour. Let's take that time. I mean, you don't have to stay all hour. You get the miracle you need, and you're welcome to leave, or you're welcome to stay and agree with us in faith if you want to. But the important thing is that we've got time. Let's take the time to pray, and let's see what God has to say. Let's see what God will do for us tonight, what kind of miracles God will work. And so I'm going to encourage you, come up, and is that all right, Grace? Can we just let folks come up to the front here, or maybe on either side where the aisles are, so it's a little bit more convenient. And those of you that are going to be praying, come up. I've got some oil we're going to anoint some folks with, and see God do some cool things.